Mastermind with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned, because this could be the most important 30 minutes in your entire life. This show, The Flatline, brought to you every Sunday on this local radio station, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and it's always done with no manipulation. No hidden agendas here. Nothing for you to join, nothing that we're trying to sell you. This show is simply about information. That's accurate information, not some sort of useless speculation, but accurate information that will give you the opportunity to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you'd like to then orient and adjust to the plan, you have the freedom, you have the privacy to do so. But listening to this radio show today, you're going to learn some very, very interesting information in regards to what we call mental attitude sins. Yep, this is a 30 minutes, what we call no-nonsense show. It is a show about the Bible, but it's not a call-in show. It's not a dialogue. It's a monologue. It's just simply me talking to you. But if you've ever had a question about God, or if you've ever been fed up with organized religion, the games and gimmicks that go along with that so often, then you're in the right place, because this show is designed to give you a disclosure, to give you accurate information. We're not in the business of artificial intelligence, and artificial intelligence is simply a combination of A and I. A and I, that's arrogance and ignorance. Combine those two things together and you have artificial intelligence. That was a word coined by a friend of mine who's a pastor in the Birmingham, Alabama area. And I love it because arrogant people always think they know everything. And we do not believe in that. In the Bible, the Bible simply says that God makes war against arrogant people and he gives grace to the humble. And you very rarely will you ever hear a pastor talking about arrogance. Matter of fact, it surprised me if you did. But it is the number one enemy of most Christians, their own arrogance and their own soul. Because arrogance is a self-justifier. It always justifies why you're right and the rest of the world is wrong. Arrogance, it's amazing what it can do. It gives you some sort of unrealistic self-image till you see yourself in the position that you think you are, not like you really are. So if you have an unrealistic self-image, then obviously you're going to have unrealistic expectations. But here we teach the mechanics to the protocol plan of God. And I'm not going to tell you something you haven't heard before. It's not that at all. But I am going to put it in a way you've never heard it put before. I'm not going to use cliches. I'm not going to use general religious terminology like turn it over to Jesus or just let God have it or rededicate your life, brother, or repent, brother. I mean, those are all fine terms, but most people don't know what they mean, what the mechanics are to that. And so I want to help you establish a flot line in your soul. Flot is the name of our radio show, F-L-O-T. And that's a military acronym for the forward line of troops, F-L-O-T, the forward line of troops. And the military, whenever it goes into battle mode, it always deploys a forward line of troops out in front of the command center so the enemy doesn't overrun the command center. And we want to do that as well in your soul. Establish a forward line of troops in your soul. And we do that by learning the 10 problem-solving devices that we teach on this radio show. And when you learn those 10 problem-solving devices and you believe them and apply them into your life, then the military analogy is that of establishing a flot line. Because even though the enemy may try to overrun your thinking and overrun the protection that God's Word gives you, he's not capable of doing that. Your flot line will protect you. You can think divine viewpoint. You can stand firm against the strategy and the tactics that Satan throws your way because you understand, first of all, your own weakness, and secondly, you avoid the pitfall of arrogance. Now, speaking of arrogance and speaking of weakness, we want to do a show for the next few weeks, and starting today, we've just finished up studying evil. We've been in evil quite a bit, and now we're going to move into something called mental attitude sins. A lot of people really don't even know what these are, but mental attitude sins are sins that you commit in your mind. There are three types of sins that you can possibly commit if you are a Christian. believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a mental attitude sin. The second is a sin of the tongue. And the third is called an overt sin, or a sin that you commit physically. So one of them, the mental attitude sin, could be what we're going to cover today, fear. That's a typical mental attitude sin. Another mental attitude sin could be jealousy. Another mental attitude sin could be bitterness. These are all things you can do without opening your mouth. A sin of the tongue, very simply, could be lying. It could be slander. It could be gossip. Another sin, or an overt sin, or something you do outwardly or openly, could be murder, could be stealing, could be drunkenness. These are outward and open sins that people see. And so when we're talking about believers, these are the three categories of sin that most believers commit. If you are an unbeliever or a person has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, then it doesn't make any difference how many sins you commit. You're on your way to the lake of fire regardless, because you haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible puts it this way: he that believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him already. And you're not going to go to heaven because you clean your act up. You're not going to go to heaven because you all of a sudden quit doing bad things. God doesn't have a scale in heaven, and he's not weighing to see which one of you has been the bad guy. You know, like, do you have enough good things and enough bad things to outweigh the bad things, outweigh the good things? That's not the way God operates. The way God operates is in grace. And so the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's a gift from God, not of works. So you can't earn it by being good, and you don't lose it by being bad. It is a gift, and that gift was purchased and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to the cross and died as a substitute for us. When the Bible says he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him, it simply means that in eternity past, God the Father dumped out on God the Son all of our sin, and he who was sinless became sinful. He was identified with our sins, and he paid for our sins. And the only reason that he was capable of paying that payment or paying that price is because he was righteous himself. He was the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. You or I could not have paid the price. We could have gone to the cross and we could have died on the cross, but it would not have satisfied the justice of God. Only the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the impeccable Son of God, the one without sin, that is the death that satisfied the justice of God. And now, because of that redeeming death, we have been purchased and bought out of the slave market of sin, so that when we put our faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, then we are given eternal life. Not only that, but we enter into the Christian life, the most exciting place you could live in time. And a lot of people will tell you that you can have a dream and you can follow your dream and your dreams will give you energy. They tell you that your dreams will give you excitement, that if you achieve your dream, if you achieve your goal, you'll be happy. And that's a big lie. Jeremiah says the man that has the dream can talk about the dream, but the man that has God's word, let him talk about that. There's nothing wrong with having a desire to be successful, as long as you understand that that is not the source of your happiness. That will not give you what you're looking for. Go to Hollywood. Take a look at it. Look at successful people in the movie industry and that are not happy. Look at the professional football teams. Look at the professional basketball teams. Look at the people that are making millions of dollars and not happy. And so achieving your dream doesn't mean happiness. Happiness is more related to what you think than what you have. And so we have talked about that on this radio show. As plus H, you're sharing the happiness of God, and it's actually part of the problem-solving devices that we've taught you. It is problem-solving device number 9, sharing the happiness of God. But one of the ways you do not share the happiness of God is when you get into fear, and fear being one of the mental attitude sins. The reason I want to talk about this is recently a friend of mine sent me an article that he had written. His name is Greg. He's a retired lieutenant colonel in the United States Army Reserve. And he heads up a prep school in his church. And his church is in Houston, Texas. And Greg wrote an article about fear, and it caused me to think about this subject. And some of the things that I'm going to tell you today, I'm actually using from the article, and I'll give credit where credit's due. But much of it, I'm thinking, dig it up on my own sort of stuff here as well. But sometimes I need ideas. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will inspire me by something that I read, and I'll see that, and I'll dig into that, and I'll go into something else. But the Holy Spirit used this article from Greg to inspire me to do this study with you on the mental attitude of fear. Now, three questions we're going to go with. Number one, what is fear? The answer is, it's a mental attitude sin. Number two, what does fear do to you? The answer to that is it neutralizes your spiritual life. And number three, how do I recover from fear? And the answer is to use Rebound, problem-solving device number one in the protocol plan of God. And Rebound is 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, then He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. And so whether it's a mental attitude sin or a sin of the tongue or overt sin, all three sins we recover the same way by using Rebound. Rebound is the most phenomenal problem-solving device because as Christians, we sin every day. All of us sin. And this is how we deal with our sin. But now let's go back to fear. First of all, a lot of people have never thought about fear being a sin. When my mother was alive, she used to freak out at the word tornado. And if she heard the weather report that a tornado was coming, she would break into a cold sweat, and she would look for a table to hide under. I don't know why, because she never had been caught in a tornado. She was deathly afraid of tornadoes. Some people are deathly afraid of flying and wouldn't get on an airplane to save their life. I think in particular about one of the announcers for professional league football, who takes a tour bus everywhere that he goes because he won't fly. He doesn't want to fly. He's afraid of flying. And some people are afraid of spiders. One of my daughters freaks out if she sees a spider. Some people are deathly afraid of snakes. My wife often tells me she saw a snake when she was walking the dog, and she has big eyes and sweat on her brow. And it's like, you sure you saw a snake? You sure it wasn't a stick? No, it was a snake. So people are afraid of different things. And is that legitimate? Is it legitimate to be afraid? Is it a sin to have fear in your life? Well, I want to address that today. And I want you to understand that Satan, the enemy, uses fear to manipulate us. He has a fear campaign to instill fear in you. And if he can get you to move into fear, what that causes is you quit thinking and you start emoting. You see, fear is an emotional sin. And when fear takes control of your life, then your emotions begin to dictate policy and not your thinking. So I want you to consider fear as an emotional sin. And I want you to consider thinking, which is the opposite of fear, not being afraid, as mental attitude strength. And let's talk about this. What is a mental attitude sin? Proverbs 23:7 puts it this way. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And so there is a part of you that thinks, and the Bible calls it your heart. This is the inside of you. This is the real you, as a man thinketh in his heart. And so what the Bible says is you are what you think. You are the sum total of your thoughts. You are not what you think you are. But you are what you think. The arrogant person is, I am what I think I am. See, that's the unrealistic self-image. But the person with humility, you are what you think. And so when you think in terms of emotional fear, then you are afraid. You see, the mental attitude, just a few points on the mental attitude. Let's get this squared away before we get into this fear thing. The mental attitude is the function of human thought. All of us think every day. All of us think every day. We wake up and our mind gets engaged and we start thinking. Even at night when we're sleeping, if we're into deep sleep and we're dreaming, then our subconscious mind is working. And so you think and I think and we all have human thought every day. This is where the battlefield is in our soul. The battlefield for the control of your soul is on the thinking level. Satan attacks your thoughts. He wants to control your thoughts. He wants you not to think, but to emote or act emotional, because once the emotions get in control, you quit thinking and you start reacting. Every decision that you make is based on what you think, because after you think about it, you decide it. You see, volition, God gave all of us volition. Volition is what God gave us, and that's our freedom to choose. And we make decisions based on what we think. Now, if we quit thinking, if we quit using our brain, and we go into emotion, then we may make a decision based on what we feel. So if you're thinking, you're going to make a decision based on what you're thinking. And if you're emotional, you're going to make a decision based on what you feel. And if you make a decision based on what you feel, 9 out of 10 times it's going to be a bad decision because it's not clearly thought out. So all decisions, every decision that I make and every decision that you make is based on what we think and then what we decide. Now, when our emotions, and we all have emotions, I have them, and I'm sure that you have them as well. My emotions are stimulated different ways than yours, maybe. But some people's emotions are stimulated at an opera. Some people's emotions are stimulated at a good movie, when the movie does what it's designed to do, which is to create a catharsis or purging of the emotions. Some people's emotions get stirred at the playing of the national anthem. Some people's emotions get stirred when they see a magnificent eagle flying. They have an emotional high at the sunset, or an emotional high at the beach when the sun rises up early in the morning and you see this. Well, emotions on steroids are big trouble. Emotions on steroids are big trouble for any believer or for any person. Emotions on steroids, that's super emotions. If you live by your emotions, you're not going to be thinking. And if your emotions are gigantic and out of control, they will eventually cause you to make decisions that'll destroy you. That's why you have to learn to control your emotions. And fear is an emotional-driven sin. You see, our lives turn out to be what we think, not what we feel. And so if we are operating on feelings, we don't have much of a life. We're easily manipulated. We're easily conned. We're easily led along. But if we're operating on what we're thinking, then we have to ask one simple question. Am I thinking human viewpoint, or am I thinking divine viewpoint? So now we have two enemies that try to control your mind. Emotions want to take over your mind and run your life, or human viewpoint thinking. And human viewpoint thinking are simply the thoughts of the times, whatever the world thinks. And you see, it's out there today. You can watch a television show or listen to a talk show or pick up a newspaper, and you can see someone giving their opinion about something. That's human viewpoint thinking. And human viewpoint thinking is nothing but garbage. Everybody's got a viewpoint. Everybody's got a solution. Everybody's got the answer, and most of them don't even know what all the possibilities are. It's amazing to me when I see people that criticize government and leadership, and they have no idea what is involved in that government, in that leadership. And just take, for example, if someone criticizes the president, they don't have the ability to be president. If you put them in the office of the president, we would be at war within one day. And the nation would be bankrupt within one day. But you see, in their arrogance, they think they could do a better job than the president. Or they think they could do a better job than the coach. Or they run that mouth and tell people, If I was the president, this is what I'd do. If I was the coach, this is what I would do. And yet they don't have all the information. So they're not thinking, they're emoting. And so our lives turn out to be what we think, not what we feel. And if we're thinking divine viewpoint and not operating on emotion, then we can have a successful life. So the greatest challenge for any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is to control our emotions. We have to control not only what we think, and that is staying out of human viewpoint thinking, but we have to control what we feel. And that's not letting our emotions dictate policy to us. And that's our biggest enemy, is the policy that our emotions try to dictate. And I guess you could throw in the tongue as well, because the tongue, if we don't learn to control the tongue, we're in big trouble. Because we say things we shouldn't say about people that we shouldn't talk about. So the greatest challenge for you and for me is to control our emotions and then to control our tongue and stay out of human viewpoint thinking. Now, any kind of mindless emotional activity rather than biblical thinking is trouble for you and for me. Mindless emotional activity rather than biblical viewpoint thinking is trouble for both of us. So when we replace this mindless emotional activity with a biblical inventory of ideas, then we can begin to have a successful spiritual life. Because your spiritual life will not be based on what you feel. It will be based on what you think. And that I'm going to show you why the Bible says this. So living the spiritual life, the Christ life, the life that you received the minute you believed in Jesus Christ, living that life starts with you thinking as God thinks. Are you assuming divine viewpoint, you having a biblical inventory of ideas. And when you get afraid, it short circuits that thinking. Fear is like a short circuit. It breaks it. And your volitional decisions switch off. And you don't start making decisions based on divine viewpoint. You start making decisions based on the emotions or what you feel. And you cannot afford to short circuit your spiritual life by letting your emotions take control or by getting into human viewpoint thinking. So before we go too much further, let me explain a couple of things to you. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you will notice there I use the word the fear of the Lord. Now this is a different word. The fear of the Lord is yirah, the Hebrew word yirah, and it means respect or reverence. And so when the Bible uses the word fear, that we are to fear God, doesn't mean we're to be afraid of Him. It means we are to respect or reverence Him. But then in Proverbs 29:25, the Bible turns around and uses the word fear again. And it says that the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. And in this instance, fear is no longer the word yirah in the Hebrew. This time it's the word kar adah, and it's a different word. It's translated in the English fear just as the first word was translated fear. But this time the word means anxiety or trembling or anxiousness or extreme anxiety. That's what fear is. And that's the sin I'm talking about. This type of fear, this trembling, this extreme anxiety is an indication of a serious problem in your life spiritually. Because fear is prohibited in the plan of God. God does not allow fear in His plan. And the Bible is clear that when the commander mandates something, that we're to obey him, and he mandates that we stay out of fear. Our Heavenly Father is our commander. And so listen to Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and be courageous, and do not be afraid, and do not tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who is going to go with you. These are the words of Moses as he spoke to Israel, the Jews, before they entered into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, the new commander. Moses was not going into the promised land. He made a fatal mistake when he struck the rock at Meribah, and the justice of God would not let him go into the promised land. So he spoke to the people and said, "Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid." In Isaiah 41, verse 10, listen again. "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be frightened, for I am your God, and I can give you strength to help you. I will uphold you with my saving right hand." Two verses that clearly indicate that for you, fear is not an option. Oftentimes I'll see kids riding around and they'll have a decal or a sticker on the back of their car that says, "No fear." And that is nothing but an emotional swaggart. It's an emotional postulating. It's acting like I'm brave. Nothing scares me. If that's the case, let's join the Marines and let's go to Iraq and let's see if you're scared when you go driving down the road and an IED blows up underneath you. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, could that sort of thing happen to you? Yes. But when you leave the safety of the compound of your base and you go out on patrol in a war zone, are you allowed to be afraid? No. No, never. Because you know that your Heavenly Father is with you, and He will protect you. And if He is ready to call you home, then nothing that anyone does can stop it. And so you never have a reason to be afraid. Fear takes your strength away from you. Fear robs your joy. And so the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the fear of man brings a snare. And so the Bible again says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." Did you hear that? A spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-control. When you're controlled by fear, an emotional sin, you don't have love. The Bible's clear about that. In 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, because perfect love drives out fear, and fear has to do with punishment." So if you say that you love God, and yet you're afraid and you're controlled and manipulated easily by fear, then you're not telling the truth. You haven't learned the problem-solving devices. You have not established the flat line in your soul. And you're looking at the circumstances and not the solution. The Bible doesn't authorize you to be afraid. Your Heavenly Father is in charge of that. He can handle that. The Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. And so when you find yourself being afraid, the solution is this. Number one, to rebound. Problem-solving device number one, rebound. Go to your Heavenly Father and admit your sin. "Father, I'm afraid. I'm letting fear control me. I'm letting fear dominate my thinking." And number two, when you rebound, you will regain the filling of the Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit is back in control, then you can begin to think in terms of spiritual dynamics, thinking in terms of the Word of God, which is the third problem-solving device, the faith rest drill. The faith rest drill claims a promise from God and then uses that promise to justify why you're not afraid and why you have a relaxed mental attitude, because this is what God said and I believe it and I'm going to stand by it. Now, how can you say that? Because in the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible says in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's going to be against us? Listen, what time I'm afraid, Psalm 56, I will put my trust in you. There's a solution. That is the answer to fear, the spiritual life, and using those problem-solving devices. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.